today is the message that I finished a week ago Thursday, the day before I received the news that my sister had suddenly passed away. The title of my message is Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. When's the last time that you felt overwhelmed? Perhaps that's how you are feeling right now. You know, being overwhelmed can be both good and bad. However, we tend to use the word in more the negative sense. When someone says, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed right now, we know what they mean. They're experiencing or facing at that moment something that is seemingly too much for them. There's two words that Webster's dictionary uses to describe the word overwhelm in this sense. They are submerge and crush. Have you ever felt, or do you feel like right now that your back is against the wall? Do you feel like in some area of life that you're going under? Again, I've titled today's message simply Overwhelmed as we continue our series from the Gospel of Mark. And if you would turn to that gospel with me, Mark chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 30 through 44. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Look at verse 36. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than a half year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Verse 38, how many loaves do you have? Jesus asked them, go and see. Then they found out, they said, five and two fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish. He looked to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them as well. They all ate and were satisfied. All the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. It's worth noting that this is the only miracle that Jesus performed in his ministry that is found in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record it. I'll refer to some of the others, but we're going to focus primarily today in this series on Mark's account. Earlier in Mark chapter 6, we know that Jesus had sent his disciples out. He sent them out two by two to minister in the nearby villages. In verse 7, he had told them, or rather it says he gave them authority. And then in verses 12 to 13, it shares the results that had taken place. I think it's interesting that even though Jesus was in the city, he was very much concerned about the villages. And there's some of us here today that live in villages. Mine's a village of about 600 or 700 people. Yours may be less. But Jesus was concerned about the villages. In verse 12 to 13, it says, they went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Now, the text that I read for you is the disciples coming back. They're sharing with Jesus what had taken place. And in the process, we know that a crowd assembled around them. It wasn't long until that crowd was a very large crowd, and it impressed in on them so much that they could not even find the time to eat. In verse 31, it says, Jesus told them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Before we really get into the heart of the message this morning, I want to comment on this. Sometimes when we are overwhelmed simply because we have not rested, we have not been alone with the Lord, so He can renew, refresh, and restore us. You know, there's a saying that you may have heard, and it is indeed true: if you don't come apart, you will come apart. I still remember being in Dr. Forrest Arnold's class at Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and it was a class primarily for men. It was about how to be a godly man. Most of my classes were on theology and biblical language, all of those kind of things, and practical aspects of ministry, but this was how to be a man of God and very practical things in your life. And he said something I have never forgotten, and he said, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is lay down and take a nap. I've never forgotten that. You know, the same things that overwhelm the 12 disciples is what often overwhelms us. And I see three things I want to share with you today. First, like them, we can be overwhelmed by the magnitude of the need. We see this in verse 35, 36, in the first part of verse 37. En route to find a quiet place to get some rest, Jesus again found, and the disciples found themselves again accosted by multitudes of needy people. And the Bible tells us that Jesus had compassion on them and began teaching them many things. As you look in Luke's gospel, Luke adds this, that he healed those who needed healing. It's interesting, as you read the gospel accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus, his ministry so often consisted of both teaching and healing people. It had been a full day of ministry, and when evening came, the disciples said to him, "This is a remote place, and it's very late." Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the magnitude of the need in your life that you felt like that you were in a remote place? You know, it's possible to be lonely in a crowd. Have you ever felt like it's just getting very late and nothing has really happened? The circumstances of my life have not changed. You know, the disciples had a solution. Verse 36 was, send the people away. After all, this was really to be a time with them, for them to be with Jesus. They had been out, we don't know for how long. He had sent them out two by two. They had been preaching, they had been praying for the sick, they had been delivering individuals from demonic possession. They finally all reported back to Jesus. They were looking forward to just spending time with Him. They were probably physically tired. They needed some rest, and all of a sudden there's all of these crowds, all of these masses of people, and their solution was, just send them away. But Jesus told them, you give them something to eat. Jesus wanted them, and I believe us, to be inconvenienced with people's needs. If you want to be used of God, get ready not only to be inconvenienced at times, but also overwhelmed. The disciples constantly struggled with the agenda of Jesus. He would slow down when they thought He should speed up. He would speed up when they thought He should slow down. He prioritized what they trivialized. He trivialized what they prioritized. When they thought He should stay, He thought they should go. You see, on this occasion, as well as others, the disciples saw the problem, but they did not see the potential. You know, you do the same. I do the same. The church does the same. It's so easy to magnify the need and not see the potential. In 1958, the pastor of a small rural Assembly of God church in Pennsylvania saw a drawing in a magazine of New York gang members on trial for murder. The Holy Spirit so impressed upon his heart, their need for the Lord, that he drove to the Big Apple, a place that he had never been, in an attempt to witness to them. Well, to make a long story short, 6 decades later, over 24,000 men and women received deliverance from life-controlling issues in adult and teen challenge centers around the world. Thank God David Wilkerson did not only see the problem, but he also saw the potential. See, there's a big difference between the disciples here and Jesus, and oftentimes there's a big difference between Jesus and us. We see the need. Jesus felt the need. It's God's plan for us not just to see the need. It's his plan for us to feel the need as well. When we are overwhelmed by the magnitude of the need, we are at the same time often overwhelmed by the meagerness of our resources. We see this in the last half of verse 37 and verse 38. When Jesus told them what to do, the disciples had a committee meeting. Now, I'm sharing what I'm going to share with you a little bit tongue-in-cheek today. I've been on many, many committees. I'm sure that some of those committees have accomplished some things. I have been in very long committee meetings. I've been in committee meetings that have lasted for days in the past. Someone has defined a committee as a group of people who individually can do nothing and collectively decide that nothing can be done. They calculated, John chapter 6, verse 7 tells us that it was Philip who did so, how much money it would take to feed the masses of people, and then they added it up and said how much it was going to cost, and only every person was only going to get one bite. You know, the first step is never to measure our resources, but to determine God's will and trust Him to meet the need. The calculator is not where ministry starts. Ministry starts in prayer. And God-given vision will always lead to God-provided provision. Next, Jesus asked, how many loaves do you have? Only John's gospel relates that Andrew was the source of the answer here. We see it in verses 8 and 9 and 10 of John chapter 6. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will that go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. You know, everything in Andrew's statement speaks of inadequacy. There was a little boy. He had a little lunch. There were 5 little barley loaves that were about 4 or 5 inches in diameter. There were 2 little fish. These would have been like pickled sardine fish. You know, every time I read this line, read this story, I think of a line in a gospel song. It simply says, little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand. You know, when you need a miracle, and there's probably some people here this morning that really need a miracle. It may be a physical miracle, it may be a financial miracle, it may be a relational miracle, but no doubt there are people here today that their only answer, their only hope is a miracle. But when you need a miracle, you need to understand that God almost always starts with the little that you have. I think that's especially true when it comes to our need of financial miracles. 2 great examples that I want to share with you. I'm not going to read the whole account. You can do so later. First was in the life of the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. You find the account. In the first few verses there, we know that Elijah had announced for Israel that judgment had come upon them. He said, for the next few years, there's not going to be rain or dew except at my word. So there was a terrible drought that came up across the land of Israel, and the Lord told the prophet Elijah, I'm going to take care of you. So first of all, he was by a brook, and there was water, and it says the ravens brought him food every single day. Ravens are a bird that are known for neglecting, even abandoning their own young, and it was God who chose a raven to bring Elijah his provision. Well, one day the raven didn't come and the brook dried up. Have you ever had that happen in your life? What you had depended upon, what you had learned to trust in, suddenly it's no longer there. And then so the Lord spoke to Elijah and said, I want you to go to Zarephath, and there's going to be a widow there, and she's going to take care of you. She's going to meet your needs. Now, if I was a prophet Elijah, I would have been looking for a widow with substance, a wealthy widow. If she's going to take care of me all the way through the drought, and Elijah gets there and he finds a widow on the edge of town. She's gathering up some sticks, and he calls out to her, and she said, oh, hey, I really don't have very much. I've got just a little bit of oil, and the story picks up in 1 Kings chapter 17. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. He had asked for bread, only a handful of flour in a jar with a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son so that we may eat it and die. What faith! What faith! And this is the widow that's supposed to take care of the prophet of God throughout the drought. But listen to what just the premier prophet of the Bible says. He's mentioned more than any other prophet in the New Testament. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid, go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as the prophet Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Another example is in Elisha's successor, the prophet Elisha. Over in 2 Kings chapter 4, there is a woman who was a widow of one of the prophets, and she came to Elisha. The creditors in that day would not just maybe take your belongings or taking the few assets that you had, but they would literally take your children. She had two sons. They were about to take her sons and sell them into slavery to pay off her debt. She cried out to Elisha. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Isn't that interesting? What do you have? What do you have in your house? She said, your servant has nothing there at all except a small jar of olive oil. And Elisha gives her these instructions. I want you to go around. I want to ask all your neighbors. I want you to go everywhere. Find as many jars as you possibly can. And she did that. It was probably somewhat embarrassing to go to all of her neighbors' houses and say, hey, got any extra jars? And she brought all those into the house. And she didn't take anything for granted. She went back to the prophet Elisha. I've got all the jars. He said, begin to pour from that jug. And guess what happened? All of the jugs were filled up. Every one of them. Matter of fact, the Bible says that when it came to the last jug and she was filling it, the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. When you have time later, read 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. One of the things that I have written in the column of this Bible says, miracles often require work. Miracles often require work. She had to do something. And throughout this miracle, we see her abilities and God's supernatural power merging together in order to meet the need and for the miracle to come about. Are you willing to offer what you have to receive what you need? So far, the disciples felt overwhelmed by the magnitude of the need and the meagerness of available resources. But they were about to be overwhelmed by the magnificence of the Lord. We see that in verses 39 through 44. The disciples and the little boy who had offered his lunch had a front row seat of the miracle that was about to take place. There are some in the crowd who probably only heard about the miracle. Again, there's 5,000 men. There's also women and children. So try to picture 5,000, maybe 10,000, 12,000 people, maybe even more that were there on that occasion. It was only the disciples and a small percentage of the people and the little boy who had offered his lunch that got a front row seat to this particular miracle. And I want to add this in, just a little bit of extra here. You know, sometimes people tend to think that organization and structure and administration and those kind of things are somewhat anti-supernatural or anti-spiritual. I want you to note that the Lord said, I want you to be seated in groups. So they began to divide up. There were groups of 50. There was groups of 100. So this took some time to organize this particular crowd. And then the Lord lifted up and he blessed the bread. He blessed the fishes. And let me just say here, there is biblical precedent to praying before you eat. There's biblical precedent. This wasn't the first time, nor would it be the last time that Jesus blessed the food. We see this in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Let me ask you, can you pray too much? Can you be too thankful to the Lord? I think it's very appropriate as followers of Jesus Christ that we bow our heads, that we give thanks to God before we eat. And when Jesus did that, when he gave thanks, just before he broke it, I want you to understand, he did not just bless what was, but what would be. When Jesus lifted up those small provisions, he did not bless simply what was there, but what would be. You know, when we have a thankful and grateful heart to the Lord, and this morning when many of you brought to the Lord your tithe, the tenth of your income, you brought to the Lord your offerings, as you're beginning now to give to the backpack project that we will have in August, that we'll have opportunity to bless hundreds of families and many schools within the Illinois Valley. We're not just blessing what is, we're blessing what will be. You know, if we take care of the addition, He'll take care of the multiplication. If we can get our addition right individually, if we can get our addition right as the people of God, if we can get the addition right in our finances and the use of our time, if we can get the addition right, guess what? He will take care of the multiplication. The little boy added what he had, and Jesus multiplied it. You know, Jesus builds his kingdom differently. We want to start off full, writes Dr. George Wood, and end up empty. He always starts us with nearly empty baskets so that we end up with full ones. We want the miracle in advance before we start out. He wants us to obey Him, and the miracle will take place as we do what He has asked us to do. Look with me again at verses 42 and 43. They all ate. They were all satisfied. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. Why would they do that? Unlike today, there were not refrigeration. There wasn't such a thing as Ziploc storage bags. there weren't microwaves. The provisions they had would not last very long. Though unspoken, I believe Jesus was giving them an object lesson here. Go find more hungry people and feed them. Perhaps that's the message we need to hear today as the Lord's church. Go find hungry people and feed them. Go find needs and meet them. We're told to go make disciples of all nations. Isaiah the prophet said, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. In John's account, we know that a short time after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus made a declaration, one of his seven great I am sayings in the Gospel of John. He proclaimed, I am the bread of life. I want you to know on that day that those who saw this miracle take place, those who were the recipients of this of this miracle, that they were overwhelmed at the magnificence of the Lord. Are you overwhelmed at the magnificence of the Lord in your life? His provision, His blessing, His peace, His help in time of need. When you don't think you can go on, He gives you the grace to go on. Are you overwhelmed at times, I'm sure you are like I am, of the magnitude of the need in your life? It can be overwhelming, can it? Just passing through life, there can be just needs that we can be overwhelmed by. You know, we can also at times be overwhelmed by the meagerness of our own resources. It was about 6 years ago, it'll be 7 years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart about providing school supplies, a way to touch our community, a way to show the compassion of Christ. And I can tell you, those who are treasurers and former treasurers of our church, August can be a challenging time financially. People are gone, people are on vacation. Personally, I believe almost every month should be the same. If we're faithful to God, there shouldn't be these ups and down months. And but August, the reality is, August can be a challenging month. And so that first year, I forget what it was, 60 or 70 bags or something that we gave out. And we raised the money here. And then that began to grow. Word caught on. And then we got into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bags. And then the big day and all of that. And you know, we would have never done a single thing if we had just looked at the meagerness of our own resources. We would have never taken the step. Oftentimes, it's as you take the step, as you're obedient to God, that the provision comes. If you just wait for something to happen, it's probably not going to happen. It's not going to happen in your life. You say, you know, I'm really struggling financially. Well, take the step to tithe. Take the step to give to God what is His, and just see if God doesn't bless you. Just see if God doesn't come through for you. And I can tell you, if all of God's people tithed, and this isn't a message on tithing, I'm just anointed, I guess, this morning, that it just happened to come up, and you're blessed by it. I know you are. I see the smiles on so many of your faces, about 30% of you. I see the smiles on your faces this morning, but the Lord's church is blessed. You're blessed when we place God first. And oftentimes it starts by the meagerness of our own resources. But ultimately, when we offer what we have, we are going to be overwhelmed by the magnificence of the Lord. What He can give, what He can provide, how He can move on your behalf when you trust Him. We serve a mighty God, a magnificent God, and nothing's too hard for Him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You this morning for this power.